We've got a good military, and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. He said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. August 4th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Got an interesting show for you. It's going to be shorter than usual. I have an interview with Ben Swan in about an hour. So I have a few things laid out for the show today, 2 main topics that I'm going to make sure I get into. Anything else that I don't get to, we'll roll over to the next show and talk about later. Today is going to be a very important interview with Ben Swan about a lot of different things, one of them being the mask discussion that he's been attacked for, even though he has a logical, scientific-based stance. Now, today, obviously, a big story going on in regard to Lebanon, which is interesting because we've been talking about this for a long time now, well before the recent admitted attacks from Israel on Lebanon. Right up until now, there are jets and things flying over, violating their airspace, right up until this moment, but long before that as well, that no one seemed to care about. Suddenly, everybody cares about Lebanon today, even though it's been happening for a long time. Bombings, violating airspace, assassinations. Suddenly, because it's big enough and it's visual enough, everybody seems to care. But you know what? I'm not picky about it. I don't care, as long as people are paying attention to what's going on. Now, we're going to talk about the ins and outs of this story. Now, in the title, to be very clear, I'm going to show you exactly why I very, very much think it's obvious this is Israel involved, as well as the United States. But let's be very clear about something. Nobody truly knows for sure who is behind this just yet. And in putting in the title, Israel attacks Lebanon, is simply just to say this has been happening. And let's be very clear. Israel has been attacking Lebanon. We just reported this. So as we're going into this story, understand how that evolves and where we're at now. You have to consider all the information building up to that, as well as the fact that the other main thing we're going to get to, if not everything else, is that the UK is now a UK university is coming right out and saying, look, after our research on the things that they're pointing to, it's very clear that the death rate is exaggerated, and they're claiming upwards of 60%. So how much of this is going to continue to be fake news, and how long until we realize that at the very least, there's a huge divide on pretty much all of this stuff, which pretty much clearly shows you that it's not settled, as we keep being told. I have a very clear opinion on what it actually is within that, but the only thing you have to understand is that it's not settled. It's not certain. It's not science proves this is what's happened. None of the things they're saying is verified. In fact, all of the things they point to pretty much show you that there's not enough evidence to suggest, and that is an honest answer. But you're not allowed to say that today. But let's get in and not wasting any more time to start off. I'm actually going to skip something that I was going to start off with just to jump right in because I started a little bit later than I wanted to. So we might have to cut this shorter at some point before, you know, some of these topics anyway, to make sure I get to the interview and everything else. So jumping over to start this off, I want to make a quick point in regard to the U.S. involvement in all of the foreign policy actions that are going on right now, right? I mean, this is ongoing, open. Iran, Syria, Venezuela. We just saw, you know, Bolivia. I mean, these are things happening right at this moment. Syria is right now being occupied, stolen from, taken. Iran is being attacked in every possible way. And here we have the United States openly threatening them, saying if the world doesn't do what we want them to do in regard to Iran, well, then we're going to do something about it. Now, ask yourself, does the United States have the justification to just openly go after them because they do things they don't agree with? No, they don't. But you see, this is what's happening. They're building this entire narrative around the idea that Iran bad guy, or Syria bad guy, or any of these things are bad guy because we say that they're bad guy, not because we've proven anything. Now, on the surface level of this whole thing, regardless of your opinion of Israel or Lebanon or Iran or Syria or any of these people, these groups do not have the right to unilaterally attack another country. Now, aside from the story of the explosion we'll get into today, that has been happening. Israel has openly, admittedly, illegally bombed Syria, bombed Iraq, bombed all kinds of locations, including in actually carrying out many attacks against Iran, assassinations and such, just like the United States did in regard to Soleimani. Hey, this is not new, and that's the point. To show you this is to show you here's the United States openly continuing to threaten, and understand all of this centers back around Iran. Now, here's the United States also unprecedented steps taking, imposing sanctions on the teenage son of a leader. Right? Because that's what good guy leaders do, right? They attack the families. Oh, weird. Isn't that something we've heard before? We'll go after their families. This is not normal. And this is not what let's just say in the sense of normal, what we're told is the normal, right? The facade we've been shown for so long about what these governments are. Altruistic and righteous and fighting for freedom and protecting the innocent, except when it suits their agendas, right? And here we have them openly attack. This guy, as you'll see in the article, I'm not going to go through. He's not political. He doesn't have any decision-making power, and yet they're openly openly gearing this towards him. It's in this individual. Why? Because even if you agree that Assad is an evil villain, why should he, as a child who has no political connection to him, be attacked for it? Because that's what's happening. He can't travel now. He can't leave. He can't do all kinds of things because they're going after him. It's vindictive. These are the people that we're dealing with. Now, even before we get into the Beirut situation, realize that, like I'm saying, this stuff has been ongoing. This is from the day before. Hey, this is the third. Israeli jets attack Hamas targets in Gaza. It's the same old story. Fighter jets carried out attacks on Hamas, they claim, because, quote, rocket was fired from the area. Oh, guess what? It landed in a field and caused no damage every single time. It's not even a joke anymore. It's almost disgusting that they just get to rattle off the same lie. No one verifies that anything even happened. Now, when I say it's a lie, it's because it's been verified in the past to have been a lie. Even one of the leading munitions experts in Israel has openly said that the Iron Dome system, which will be relevant in a moment, is in fact very clearly a show, a mirage. That's his opinion. But the point being, a rocket fires and they get to do what they want. So they claim a rocket was fired and they continued to bomb Hamas and killed people, right? Multiple locations, fighter jets and aircraft struck subterranean Hamas terror facilities every single time. Now, it says, despite a truce in recent months, they've periodically exchanged fire with militants in the Strip, you know, just periodically lobbing a useless rocket with no guidance system just so they can make sure Israel has the excuse to continue to kill their families, because that totally makes sense every single time, right? So they're in a truce. Hamas says they're not trying to fight, but all of a sudden, one single lone rocket that causes no damage gets fired. Gee, I wonder who has the motivation to do that one thing that they know will lead to the deaths of their families and the destruction of their areas. Maybe them, because that makes perfect sense. This is what they want you to think. But understand, this is a narrative that's all around us. Syria, and now the United States, guess what, is going to be leading in the same direction. Raytheon is making a deal to make Iron Dome defense systems in the United States. Now, this could be used here, or we could just be now building the things that we're paying for them. So it's just, think about how crazy that is, to build the things that we pay for them in our side. I mean, this is unrealistic. Only happens in this situation. Major arms maker Raytheon Technologies has announced a joint venture with Israel's Rafael to make Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system in the United States, with an eye towards sending it to allies across the globe. Now, it says Raytheon emphasized how successful Israel's Iron Dome is, citing a 90% success rate that's used to intercept the makeshift Palestinian rockets. So we're told, anyway, and it is broadly untested with respect to proper missiles or weapons. And it says MIT itself, which you probably have never heard of before because they'll never let you hear stuff like this, has done studies on the Iron Dome as an interceptor missile, in concluding that the success rate is a, quote, deception. That's from MIT. And that it is a system which, quote, hardly works and almost certainly would have a success rate of less than 10%. But we're conspiracy theorists because I'll say that based on the leading munitions expert in Israel. But here's MIT doing their own study based on this illusion, the fake thing that is the Iron Dome. So is MIT a conspiracy theory fake news outlet, or is it a leading? I mean, it doesn't matter your opinion of them. Realize that this is what we need to see, that these are illusions. They're lying to you. And that applies to what we're going to talk about today with Beirut. Now, it says, historically, this was important because the United States aid was used to, you know, pay for Israeli systems, which doesn't make sense at all when you understand the dynamic. And it says, if the system doesn't work, however, it's likely something other customers might want to know. But no, we're going to not only pay them, we're now going to build them for them, too. But understand, if that's the case, that means our leadership, if you want to call them that, know well, more than anybody else, that they don't work. But this has continued. This is two, by the way. This is an attack on Syria right here from the third. Oh, and then jump over to the fourth. And Israel's also bombing Syria again on the fourth, the next day. Right. So let's pretend like they'd never do this over here in Lebanon. Israel Defense Forces struck Assad's army targets in southern Syria in a response to somebody planting explosives off the border. Oh, and let's get to the part where they prove and verify and show you pictures. Oh, but that's not in there. According to the IDF, the targets of the airstrikes were observation posts, intelligence gathering equipment, and aircraft batteries. So they went on to bomb numerous Syrian locations where there's any number of innocent people around, either Iranian-backed, if they want to call them that, or Syrian individuals, or just civilians that are in these areas every time they bomb them. But that's totally okay because they say somebody on occupied Syrian territory was trying to plant an explosive that they never verified or proved. But let's just can pretend like this is normal. Can Iran just make claims and carry out attacks and make that okay? Can anybody else do that today? The U.S., maybe. It says, at about 11 o'clock in the evening, Israeli helicopters fired missiles at several sites in the vicinity of Kunitra. I mean, these are civilian areas. On Monday night, four Arab militants who planted explosives, as they claim, at the border fence near Tel Faris in the southern Golan Heights were killed, they say. So the Golan Heights is an occupied Syrian territory that the UN has always said is illegally occupied. So they're on Syrian territory and killing Syrians who they say were trying to plant bombs on their territory. That's the gist of it. And had they been able to plant those, it says they would have resulted in the death of Israeli soldiers who patrol the illegally occupied area. A group of terrorists was shot from land and air. So, yeah, and then no verification of whether these people, who they were, what they were, if they were actually shot, or if there were bombs ever planted. We get allegations from people who have lied before, and then the ongoing occupations and bombings of territories that they want. If you can't see what's happening, even if there were people trying to plant explosives, they're an occupied territory. But the point is, they don't need any of this. They're pushing in, they're bombing, they're pushing in, they're bombing, they're occupying, and all they say is Iran bad guy, Syria bad guy, over and over and over. Which brings us to today. Like, as if those last few stories sum up what's been going on over even just the last few weeks. But the reality is that now we're seeing something happen in Lebanon. Now, remember, we just talked about this. Okay, this is important to understand. The reality is that Israel has openly acknowledged that it is attacking Lebanon. They claim it's because they were attacked, but just like I showed you, there's no verification that anything happened. Lebanon denies it. There's nothing, no damage, nothing. Just they did something on the border, so now we're attacking them. And, you know, war is pretty ridiculous in most cases. I mean, nobody in any logical sense should support war. War is historically waged by powerful people for their own interests. So the idea to say that, oh, well, it's war and that's what happens in war is kind of correct. But understand that as they push into it and they claim that we're the righteous ones and we're doing this for freedom and then do illegal things and go, oh, well, that's war. That is a contradiction. You don't get to be the righteous standing one fighting for freedom and then break all the rules that you say they're breaking without ever proving that they're breaking them or even taking part in your one-sided war. It's an illusion. Understand, though, that Israel has been openly bombing and attacking Lebanon and violating their airspace for a very long time. U.S. government doesn't seem to care. Hundreds injured in Beirut. Explosions so powerful they turn the streets to wasteland. Now, as I said, when this first happened, and this isn't to say at this moment that I'm saying I knew this or this is what happened. I'm just simply saying, here's a video. This is true. This is an explosion that happened. And while we're staring at this, don't forget who's been bombing Lebanon this whole week. We're watching open warfare being waged by the United States and Israeli governments against Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, etc. Now understand, that statement is true regardless of whether this bombing happened today. We are watching open warfare being waged by the U.S. and Israeli governments against Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, and all these groups. Openly. I think they just say, well, Iran's there so we can murder people. Nobody honest can actually pretend like that's a legitimate response, especially as the civilians they claim they're trying to defend are continually taking the brunt of all of this. And that's not because Assad is bombing anybody. It's because they are bombing people. It's a constant sidestep, just like we're seeing in regard to what's going on with COVID and China and everything else. It says, all while they scream about human rights and democracy. That's called hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. And if you can see, this is a look in the, first of all, the narrative here is this is some kind of a fireworks location that exploded. Now you can see, first, just right off the bat, the look of this is obviously not a fireworks explosion. I don't care how many fireworks you think are built up in one location. That's not what that is. Okay? Now, before I even go through the general narrative here, understand that there was right off the bat people involved saying it's unclear what caused the explosion, but Major General Abbas Ibrahim of Lebanon's General Security Directorate said the massive blast was caused by confiscated, quote, high explosive materials. That's really interesting. So all you're getting on the mainstream right now is, oh, it's a fireworks. They, you know, Lebanon, because they're just bad and they can't manage things and things exploded because they're, it's the same thing I try to make about Iran. As Israel is carrying out cyber attacks against Iran, they may, oh, they're old and crumbling infrastructure. Oh, you mean the United States? Oh, no, we're talking about Iran. Oh, old infrastructure. That's why they're all crumbling over there. No, it's because they were being attacked, and it's very clear. And this is openly stated by numerous people underneath the you know, the allowable discussion of the mainstream media. Massive blast caused by confiscated high explosive materials. Now, there's this. It's hard to find this right now and dig into what he meant because nobody in the mainstream sphere is caring to look any further. It says it would be, he says, quote, it would be naive to describe such an explosion as due to fireworks. Now, yes, it's going back and forth. We're hearing claims from a lot that this was, were denials from both sides. The idea that this is something just only to do with fireworks is just is basic here. Basic, it's obviously not the case. Now, you can see as we go through some of these other videos, as this just says it's like a war zone and saying that they both Hezbollah, not the, you know, entire, not all the entire leadership, but just Hezbollah and Israel have formally denied they're involved. But take a look at some of these images. Right there, you can see the fireworks, you know, like little crackling fireworks and everything. So first off, it's pretty clear that there was something like that here. And this is a port in the area, which is going to be relevant in a moment. But realize that this clear, that just because of fireworks you can see doesn't mean that what you're going to see next has anything to do with that. There it is, finally. Boom. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been reports, unconfirmed, unsubstantiated reports of drones and everything. There's always people that want to get on there and get clicks and attention online, make statements they can't verify. And I've seen two different groups claiming they've seen drone reports. One of them actually changed their entire Instagram post and claimed something else. And obviously they were either lying or wrong. But I do think, listen to the background. It sounds like you hear something. Not just the explosion, but something like almost like a jet or an airplane. From right here. It gets louder. Okay, now that could just as easily be the fire itself. I'm just pointing out an observation. But the reality is just because there are fireworks doesn't mean that this could not also be something that was included or something that they did on purpose. Now, here is... I'm going to save that comment for the end, but here's what somebody replied to Whitney's tweet. It says, in case people want to see what firework warehouse fire looks like, here's what it actually looks like. Jump ahead a little bit. Here, right there. The point is, you'll notice there's not some mass. It continues. There's. All All right. So now the point is it continues to pop and crackle and it gets bigger and bigger, but it's not some massive explosion, especially not some mushroom cloud creating, shockwave creating explosion. I mean, I shouldn't have to make it this clear, but there's plenty of people who are saying, well, it's obviously just fireworks. And this is just, it's, you know, the people you might expect. Yeah, here, let's watch. I think I did look at this one already. Yeah, that's the one. This is the one with the crazy shockwave. And this is just crazy. Look, there's no way that this can be anything. Whew, man, that's just out of control. Now, same one, giving you guys different views of it. Whew, man, that is huge. This one's interesting. Now, watch the way that this cloud looks. This is one of the images that's circulating. It's really odd. Right there. Weird. Right there is when he starts jumping away, so it gets a little sporadic. But to say here, I'm going to jump ahead real quick and show you that this, Israel used a very similar looking bomb in Syria last year. It's some type of new thermobaric weapon. Now, it's obviously, there's plenty of bombs you could probably find that would look similar, but understand that this is that, and that is what it looks like, as well as the fact that we've been seeing these test explosions like similar things, these kind of maybe mini nuke-type look actions that happened in Palestine or all in Yemen. We've already reported on these things. Now, people try to pretend like any number of these things are just crazy conspiracy theory, except that they're not, and it's very easy to verify. So as we're seeing this happen, as Israel's been attacking Lebanon, and as they're involved, and as all these things, you know, you got to begin to put things together, especially when you realize that, oh, wait a minute, the Kataeb party leader was just killed in that explosion. Oh, you mean the leader of the group that they've been openly going after in Iraq and Syria for the last 6 months to a year? Yep, that guy. So let's pretend like that is just a happy coincidence. Okay, now it says, Najarian, probably ruining his name, the Secretary General of Lebanon's Kataeb political party has died after being critically injured as a result of the blasts. Now it says the Lebanese authorities have already ruled out an initial theory that the blast was caused by the fireworks and the fire. Now it says that they compared the scope of the incident to the 1945 atomic bombing of Hiroshima. That's crazy. And this gets even more interesting when you find out something else. Well, first of all, as Syrian girl puts it, and she's right, the Lebanese are denying that Israelis are behind this. Now we're talking about the leadership, right? And this is exactly what I would think in the same case. It's also why you see things that happen like this in, let's say, Syria, where instead of absolutely calling them out, or even Russia more specifically, they play it as if it's not as definitive, because if you say they did it and we know it, well, then your people want you to respond, and it's not politically good for them in that moment. And right now, if Lebanon decided to attack Israel or do anything in that nature, the United States and Israel would demolish them and invade their country. That's what would happen right now. They know this. Now it says, who knows if that's exactly what happened, but you get the point. They would take action against them. The Lebanese are denying that Israelis are behind this because they'd have to answer to it. The Israel bombing in Syria and Iran are not a coincidence. That is my analysis. But stick your heads in the sand if you prefer. Those were some fireworks, right? Well, this gets even more interesting when you find out, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you mean that the Israeli Defense Forces had acknowledged that exact location as somewhere where Iran was doing things? Weird. Let's pretend like that doesn't mean anything. Here's another one. Same thing. This location right down here in the bottom, right there. That is where we're talking about. That is right here. And that is the port, and that is the site of the explosion. Okay, so if the IDF was calling this out as a location of Iranian activity, and that they were recently bombing Lebanon. This doesn't prove that they did something, but how is it that we can have an entire media apparatus supposed to be journalists and with investigative theories, and all they can say is, well, look, we saw some fireworks in the smoke, so then it was fireworks. End of story. Case closed. Journalism, right? No. How about we do a little bit of research and find out that, well, it's pretty clear that Israel has been focusing on this location. I mean, it becomes almost frustrating to see how willing people are to ignore what's in front of them, to not have to address the reality of the situation, which is just, that might as well be the tagline for our political system in this country. Israel girl points out, one doesn't want to talk about who's done this yet, but Israeli jets have been hovering these skies for the last 2 months now, according to one journalist in Beirut. Now, as Whitney pointed out, this is one I kind of skipped over a moment ago, if you think this explosion was caused by grain dust or fireworks, which is the narrative circulating with this, perhaps you believe that the World Trade Center Building 7 collapsed into its footprint in 7 seconds and was caused by office fires, even after its own Larry Silverstein said that they were made the call to pull it. I mean, look, just look at this video. I mean, it's so incredibly obvious that this is some kind of thermo, I don't even want to guess. This is a huge explosion with a shockwave, and this is in an area that's been under attack. This is an attack. That's my take on it. This is an ongoing, continued effort to bomb Syria, to bomb Palestine, to go after Iran, to go after everybody anywhere under the guise of COVID-19. You realize why this is so apparent and obvious right now. It's because they don't think you're caring enough to talk about it. They think that we're so consumed, and we mostly are, all of us, with what's going on because our rights are being removed right in front of us, that, let's just say, Israel in particular is just taking it, running with it. They have taken and occupied and annexed more territory over this last period of time. I mean, Trump has, the whole point was that they weren't going to be displacing anybody. And then the next thing he did was continue to displace a lot of people. And he's right now bulldozing people's territory and taking land that was actually earmarked for the Palestinians. But we're all crazy because we care about people's lives, right? Because we care that this is happening. Because they're continuing to bomb and attack in all of these different locations. Where's the other one I was trying to find all of a sudden right there? I mean, Syria. Twice in 2 days. People die. Why is that not being discussed? Right? The reality is that what we're staring at here is a huge problem. This is a massive action. As I understand it, at least 12 people. It says killing at least 70 people. And upwards of probably getting close to 2,000 injured. And it says the blast occurred near the center of the city by a port in an area where the mainly Christian population resides. I find that to be very relevant. Now, we know that it says interestingly, their internet is up and down, which I'm sure will be used as a way to claim they're trying to cover up the story, which could be. But, that's always the accusation, especially as there's no way you can verify just because anything you can make them out to be the bad guy. The office of Lebanon's electricity supplier in the capital was completely destroyed in the explosion. Well, maybe that's part of it, right? But this is, if you wanted to go after them and make them look like their infrastructure was, the state was crumbling and decrepit and it's all their fault, just like they tried to do with Iran, well, this would be where you would go. By the way, don't forget, it's exactly what they tried to do in Venezuela. They went right for the power. They went right for I'm forgetting the name of it now. Most of you probably remember, you can talk about it in the chat. They targeted and attacked one of the leading, electric hubs. I'm blanking on the titles for these things. I believe it was some kind of a hydro, whatever. And the point is, this is what they do. And guess what they did when they went after those areas of Venezuela? They turned around and said, look at how bad Venezuela is. They can't even keep their electricity on. Well, here's where it's coming to. These people have used the same play over and over and over. Now, it says more than 30 brigades from the Red Cross are currently working at the scene as rescue workers pull people from the rubble. Lebanon's health minister has called on hospitals to mobilize and save the lives of hundreds of people. This is a really big deal. Now, yes, Israel has denied involvement, but they've denied involvement in all of these things. They deny involvement when they're later found out to have been involved. That's a running joke. Israel regularly says this on every single thing they do. And then we'll make some kind of brazen claim about how Lebanon got what we sent them or something like that on the news, as if we don't know what they mean, right? I mean, it's constant. But I think we have to realize all of these things in the building blocks, right? We have to see how this has been put together. And I think it's very obvious, in my opinion, that this is exactly what we're staring at. And right now, the U.S. and all of our mainstream media will do everything they can to put this under the interest in fireworks. Just because, Lebanon, they don't have things under control. That makes sense. It should frustrate you. Now, I've only got a few more minutes to get over a couple more topics. I wanted to go over the last two things here with you guys. And this is, right now, we are seeing, they're building your reality, not just for the next couple of months, not just for the next couple of years, but for the rest of your life. And that is what I want us to think about for the last 10 minutes here. I'm going to talk about this last topic. If this never goes away, is it still okay with you? Right? If this new normal was let's just say it wasn't even meant to be permanent, but it just becomes that way, even though I think we all know this was built because they want it this way. But let's just say, you know, it's just we need to just get that vaccine so we can go back to normal. We all got to wear masks so we can go back to normal. Now, let me ask you this. If you knew right now that no matter what you did, no matter how much you complied or acquiesced with their authoritarian measures, that this would just be the way it was, would you then suddenly now go, okay, wait a minute. Would you still be, okay, we need to do this just because it's helping us, even though we would never get away from it? If that clearly shows it's not helping anything, if we're just setting us in that same area. If it never goes away, are you okay with giving up your rights right now? Are you okay with every single thing they're taking from you? The control, the lack of actual representative government right now. That was the huge part in Berlin with this massive million-person march they tried to pretend was 17,000 people. They're saying we want to return to democracy. Realize where we are right now, guys. We as the American people, the majority, even though I don't agree with that either, the idea of majority rule, but that's how democracy is supposed to work. The majority is supposed to be the one deciding what our government does. Not they decide and tell us, well, you guys aren't smart enough and you can't even do your own research. We're supposed to say this is what we want and they act on it because it's supposed to be an embodiment of the people. But does anyone feel like that's where we are? These people are in control. They're in power. They decide what we want. They tell us what we're going to get. And even as people march through the streets with millions of people, they say, bah, go back inside. You guys don't understand. You're not smart enough. So suddenly it becomes, well, we know we're smarter than you. So even though we're pretending we're representing you, we're going to do what's best for you. So it doesn't matter if we actually live in some kind of representative government, a democracy or whatever you want to call it. You don't suddenly get to say, well, we've decided that you guys don't get it. We all get it, right? We've seen the research and we get it. So even though all of you think that we should do something different, and technically our government is supposed to do what you guys want, we're just going to decide to do something different. Does that not sound like a running theme with the DNC, with our elections, and I'm not just talking about the United States, understand. This is a problem because they're transitioning you into the situation where it's you know, freedom on demand, right? It's whenever they decide that you have a momentary situation where they can let us out into a nice grass field and say, go ahead and have fun, be free for a moment. And then the moment there's another problem, well, suddenly they lock that gate up. And now the point is we were never really free. We were running out in that big enclosure, right? That's the panopticon that we live in. Right. This is the point. So back to the question, if this never goes away, as I feel strongly that it won't, if we don't push now, if it never goes away, are you okay with allowing this to happen? I argue that most people would not be. Right. And this is where we're at now. Oh, well, we're at the limit of easing it down. So we ease it a little bit and then wait. It's not looking good. So we're going to pull back a little bit. Is that our choice? Did you make that choice? Did we vote? Did we have any kind of a quorum? No, we just allowed. And this is what's funny. Even using the word quorum, the idea that even all of our Congress somehow would have our best interest in heart, I think, is backward and wrong anyway. But we're not even talking about that. We're talking about governors, the president, individuals making choices for all of us, based on their choices and their political ends that have mostly nothing to do with the actual science. As I keep showing you, at the very least, you should have the right to make your choice about your life. That's actual freedom, especially in a situation where, like even in Germany, if all those people actually, and they do, agree that they should not be being told in the way that they are, well, that should, just like that, change it. It should be over. We should be done because the majority clearly does not agree, even in this country. I mean, even if you think that, oh, that's all those Trump supporters, or oh, that's all those Biden supporters, however you look at it. The point is that majority or not, that's what we're supposed to be living in. That's also why, side note again, I don't agree with democracy or any kind of government in the way we're dealing with it. I'm anti-government as that stands. But the point is, they are driving you towards this. All they have to say is, well, start again. You're in danger again. Don't worry. And that's while we're finding out from other people within the system that actually you're being lied to. But they don't care about that. Direct quote from this, actual deaths due to COVID are some 54 to 63% lower than implied. That is actually what this study says. The Loughborough, I believe, University. Now, it's just one university, one study, right? As always, I'm not doing what the mainstream media does and waving one study that says what we like in front of you as if it's the gold thing. I tried to not say gold standard because the point is that they point to these Lancet studies, let's say, that don't use anything with random controlled trials. And they say that's the one, as we're pointing to with any number of things that say the exact opposite. Not to say that's the truth, but to say, why are you ignoring all these things? And they say, fake news, you're a denier. Well, no, we're trying to have an equal, honest discussion about all the information. Things just like this. Research from Loughborough and Sheffield universities suggested new approach to recording COVID deaths. It says, however, these figures may be distorted. As to record a COVID-associated death, you require only weak evidence that COVID may have contributed to the death. The new study, I feel like I'm running short on time, so I'm going to, I mean, you guys can read through all this. Here's their information, the schools they're from, what they work for. It says the authors have used statistical techniques to better identify deaths due to COVID, applying the excess death framework more robustly and controlling four other factors that affect mortality. Get this, the key findings. Actual death due to COVID-19 are some 54 or 63% lower than implied by the standard excess death measure, and reported excess deaths likely include a significant number of non-COVID deaths. So is this fake news? It's getting absolutely, I mean, like, paradox. I mean, I am like, they have admitted to this. They have said themselves that they're being liberal with the numbers, that they're counting things that, you know, for your own safety, fine. That's all I've always said, whatever, you do what you got to do. But the moment you start using those fake numbers to remove things from us, to restrict our rights, to shut down our businesses, to stop us from living our lives, well, that's obviously ridiculous because you just said they're not accurate. So then the same point then, when I come out and say, look, their death numbers are inaccurate, you get called fake news, even though they've admitted to it. Do you not realize how crazy that is? But this is the point of saying things like this, is to show you that people are actually being brainwashed. We are actually in a extreme social engineering kind of setting where people are arguing against things that they've actually heard themselves from the very people that they've decided to trust. That's schizophrenic. But the point is that it is lower, up almost, in some cases, 63%. 63%. And that's because of non-COVID deaths, people that they're giving death COVID on their death certificate that didn't actually die from COVID. We've gone over numerous examples, motorcycle crashes, all kinds of things. But it gets even more interesting. It says, while it's well known that COVID deaths are concentrated in the elderly, this study found that it's actually far, far more acute in the elderly population, which is even more to the point. So it's only in people in these areas that they already basically shoved into these closed areas, cut off from the world and allowed to die, basically, especially in New York. But the point is they're with comorbidities, people that are already old and dying, which doesn't mean that they should be ignored or forgotten, but it changes the scenario here. Particularly acute in the very elderly. And then it says even more to the point, guess what? Over the lockdown period as a whole, government policy has increased mortality rather than reduced it. Gee, I wonder why this isn't being talked about. Because it challenges everything they're saying. That the lockdowns don't work. Where have you heard that before? On this channel? I mean, any number of these things we've gone over. And it's not because I am just the smartest guy in the world. It's because I do my research and consider opinions of people on any number of side of arguments. And that is the big point here. That they don't want you thinking for yourself. Now, again, here is the actual graph from the provisional death count on the CDC website showing you that it's going down. Now, to be very clear, as of right here, where you can see the bar, right in between the 18th and the 25th of the week is where they stop their counting. It's just further behind. And you'll always see the sharp drop off because that's where the numbers are at the moment, which goes up as we go, which was the same for this, which I apparently didn't explain well enough when I talked about it last time. That is not entirely accurate, but it's low in general, even for right now, even from the first to the fourth, it's only 258, which will go up. But understand, the point is that it has continually gone down, except for this moment where it suddenly jumped up to fours after the threes, which they was added retroactively, which is what this says. That is what they say and what this is supposed to do. But I find it to be suspicious that the ones back here don't really seem to change that much, whereas the ones here Anyway, the point is, either way you spin it, even with them puffing up the numbers in ways that I don't think are accurate, as they've admitted to, it is still going down. That's what this shows you. Even after here, it has been a constant, slow decline. Even with a little bit of an uptick right there, it continued back down. And that's what they wanted to keep scaring you about. That is the important thing to understand. But we see these numbers continuing to drop, even though they're driving them up to scare you. And also realize that right about the time when this happened, and I talked about this the other day in regard to just the reauthorization of the PCR test, but I also noted on this even before that show that what they're saying here is the authorization to screen and test people with the test that we know is wildly inaccurate, giving false positives, as anybody's used them as attested to. The point is that they're now going to be using that faulty test to test people who aren't even sick, who don't even have any symptoms. Gee, I wonder what that's going to do. Drive cases, and then anybody else that gets labeled a case, even if they die in a car accident or some other illness, will be marked as COVID-19, which is what's happening. Okay, so this is the reality. And guess when that happened? July 24th. Well, it's weird how right on July 24th seems right when it started kicking back up again. You know, it's just funny how we continue to see these things and the correlations with their actions. Off Guardian says Melbourne has declared an emergency curfew for a disease which has killed 208 people in 4 months. That's 0.004% of the city's population. The 7 people who died yesterday were all over 70. 4 were over 80 and 2 were over 90. We are being lied to, and they're using this illusion to scare you into action. And to finish off quickly, I want to show you this part. This one last thing, and this is unbelievable to me. Forbes, you must not, quote, do your own research when it comes to science, they say. This is just unbelievable to me. Research both sides and make up your own mind. Well, it's simple, straightforward, common sense advice. Well, it's funny how common sense works when they want it to, but not when they don't. It says, and when it comes to issues like vaccinations, climate change, and novel coronavirus, all things that are wildly politicized, it can be dangerous, destructive, and even deadly, right? Bottom line, if you don't listen to the people you're better than you, well, then you're just going to be misled because you're not smart enough. The techniques that most of us use to navigate most of our decisions in life, gathering information, evaluating it based on what we know, and choosing a course of action can lead to spectacular failures when it comes to the scientific matter. So now, you're not supposed to be doing research on science. You should just mindlessly listen to people who you've decided are smarter than you. Has that ever been the sense in any intelligent discussion? But this is what they want you to think now. Because things are rapidly evolving, right? Opinions we've held on the same information for decades are suddenly changing because new information? No, because politics. The reason is simple, it says. Most of us, even those of us who are scientists ourselves, lack the relevant scientific expertise needed to adequately evaluate the research on our own. Look, no one is arguing that most of us are not experts in the field. The point of this is not to research things and then decide what you've researched is the truth, right? They're applying their own fallacy in reverse. The point is to do your own research and then come to a conclusion based on it. And if you don't think there's enough there, then keep looking. It's okay to not have an answer. You see, but they don't want you to think like that. They want you to know that you only have to look to the expert they want you to look at to get your, quote, answer. And then you're all good. Go back to sleep. Go to Walmart and McDonald's and sit down and relax and trust us. It says, in our own fields, we are aware of the full suit of the data. So get right off the bat, notice how it's suddenly shifted into in our fields. We are aware. So suddenly this guy is lobbing himself in with the experts. Mr. Ethan Siegel here is, well, I'm an expert, right? So you peons over there, you don't know well enough. He says, in our fields, we are aware of the full suit of data. So do you not realize the hubris there that he's decided that they are the experts and that means that they know the full breadth of the data? Real, honest experts know that they don't know everything. They know that it is actually always evolving. And that's what they'll say when they want you to think that, but then change their mind when they don't want you to think past it. We are aware of it. He says, of how those puzzles fit together, because we're so smart, and what the frontiers of our knowledge is. Now again, realize that no one is saying that you need to do your own research and then blindly decide for yourself what you would believe. You should be just simply looking into it. Research what they're saying, and if it doesn't make sense, go find some other opinion. Find someone who explains it better, right? The idea is that you should always be able to do your own research and come to your own conclusions as an intelligent human being. Doesn't mean that you always have the right answer, which is kind of what he's also saying, but in a way that means that's the case, but you have to eventually trust us. When laypersons espouse opinions on the matters, it's immediately clear to us, he's so smart, where the gaps in their understanding are and where they've misled themselves in their reasoning. So whenever we speak up about things that they're smart, that they're, you know, educated in, they can just immediately point out how we've misled ourselves. When they take up the arguments of a contrarian scientist, we recognize that they're overlooking. So just because somebody, this is what they're just laying the groundwork, that because these scientists are challenging the narrative, well, they're wrong because we're smart, and that we've recognized that because they're listening to that challenging narrative, whether you're whoever you want to name, the many, any number of groupings of doctors and scientists that are speaking out right now, well, they just simply have recognized that we're overlooking something, because we have to be, right? If we're not blindly trusting them, well, we must be missing something. Right? The whole thing is just brimming over with hubris. Unless we start valuing the actual enterprise that legitimate experts have spent lifetimes developing, doing our own research could lead to immeasurable, unnecessary suffering. Do you realize the fallacy there? What I am literally saying is, of course, to actually value the expertise. That's why you're researching them. The point is to decide that they're smart, so you should blindly listen to them without considering or researching. That's stupid. That's actual ignorance. And he's trying to say ignorance is strength. That's what he's saying. Ignorance is strength, right here. Unless we start valuing them, which we're already doing, that doing your own research could lead to suffering. How about you do both? I know that's really tough for you, Ethan. You got to think past it, right? Just be able to do more than one thing at one time, you know? He says, let's start with a simple, low-stakes example, fluoridated drinking water. Oh, and here we go. Fluoridated drinking water, right? The thing right now that Derek Brough is actually covering today more and continuing is the fluoride trial that's right now happening, where people are openly pointing out all of the scientific flaws here and the fact that fluoride is actually very bad for you, that it has all kinds of negative side effects that they just skim right over in this article as if that's all wild conspiracy theory, which exactly makes my point, that they've already decided that's the truth, so their experts they're pointing to also have that opinion. And if you go anywhere else, well, they've decided you're just overlooking something, and that's dangerous. Do you see the problem here? I mean, you could talk about all kinds of things. The you know, chemtrails kind of idea. These things are absolutely true. To what degree? There's plenty of other theories that go way above and beyond what the actual truth is, but it doesn't change the fact that that is happening. It doesn't change the fact that they used to pretend that fluoride in your water was not real. They said you were crazy for thinking that. And then suddenly it goes, well, we were actually doing it, but it's for your teeth. But we're not liars. Trust us now, because it's all safe for you. It is irrational. In most places in the United States and Canada, our drinking water is fluoridated at a specific level that's safe and effective for all humans. Just blanket statement. That's not true. I can show you numerous examples of people in these, even local governments, that are calling out the problem. But that doesn't matter to them. Of course, he says, that's not what we're thinking we're doing, meaning researching for ourselves. We think of ourselves as heroes of our stories, cutting through misinformation and digging up the real truth on the matter. We think that, just by applying our brain power and our critical reasoning skills, we can discern whose experts' opinions are trustworthy and responsible. No, that's not what we're saying, right? See, that is the fallacy. We're saying you should apply skepticism equally to all of them. You see the problem there? He's trying to rewire your brain to think that the same thing, trusted sources. That's a fallacy. You shouldn't be trusting anybody. You should be doing your own research. You can listen to them, entertain their theories, listen to what they're saying, consider it, and look further. But he wants you to decide. In the same way he's kind of already telling you that you shouldn't be doing, but in a broad sense, right? They want you to choose to pick one of them because they said they were the experts and then blindly trust them. But if you try to discern which expert opinions are trustworthy and responsible, that's just too problematic. So just pick one. Do you not realize how dumb that is? We think that we can see through who's a charlatan and who's a fraud, and we can tell who's safe and effective from what's dangerous and ineffective. So basically, you're all too stupid. We are all dumb, so you have to trust them. Except for almost all of us, we can't. Even those of us with excellent critical thinking skills and lots of experience trying to dig up the truth behind a variety of claims are lacking one important asset, the scientific expertise necessary to understand any finds or claims. But you see, that's not what we're doing. These people aren't going through virology scientific studies. These people are going over their studies. Not that you have to understand all the ins and outs, and if you don't, well, then you should understand that and factor that into your process. That I don't fully understand this, and so that means that I shouldn't be trying to make this. I mean, it's basic information. It's like we're trying to reteach people how to think. And they're trying to re-engineer people how to not think and blindly trust, as if that's honorable, as if that's what smart people do, blindly trust their betters. I mean, think about how crazy that is. He says, this is why scientific consensus is so remarkably valuable, right? But so this is what they're saying. So we've decided that these people are right. So this group is our consensus. And the moment that the medical community has another opinion, well, they're no longer part of the medical community. We've seen that in living color. So is it the consensus or is it the group that they've picked and they kick anybody out when they change their mind? Well, you see, these people have decided this is the truth and this is all it will ever be. It truly is one of the most important and valuable types of expertise that humanity has ever developed, the consensus, we're told. But only if we listen to it. It's absolutely foolish to think that you, you little stupid person over there they're talking to, you non-expert who lacks the very scientific expertise necessary to evaluate the claims of experts, you are going to do a better job than the actual bona fide experts of separating truth from fact. You do not get the tension, the aggression in that sentence. I mean, he is coming right out. He says, but if we listen to it, that we have to trust them. It's absolutely foolish to think that you, a non-expert who lacks the very scientific expertise necessary to evaluate the claims of experts, are going to do a better job than the actual bona fide experts of separating truth. You realize the fallacy? It's just, again, just what I keep telling you. The fallacy is that this guy, because he's an expert, is a good person, is righteous, is going to do the right thing. He's going to, you know, not lie to make money, right? That's just ignored. That whole caveat is just left out, right? How dare you think that you are smarter than the expert? How about it doesn't always apply to intelligence? How about these people sometimes do what's not right? How about sometimes humans break the law? How about sometimes even the experts are swayed by politics? So that's why you should always be able to consider these things for yourselves, but they don't want you to do that. He says, when we do research for ourselves, we almost always wind up digging in deeper into our own knee-jerk positions, which is actually true, rather than deferring to our positional opinions. But the point is, that's true with the fallacy. That's true with people who are only searching for what they want to find, which you'll never get away from that. Let me ask you this. What's better, blindly trusting people who have proven to be liars or digging into your own opinion, but at least researching further? The point is, neither of those things are what you should be doing. The point is, you should be an intelligent human being that can simply reflect on the fact that you are experiencing confirmation bias and learn how not to do so. These are just human things they don't want you to even consider. As always, they want you to blindly trust what they're saying. Now, I wanted to wrap this up because I don't have much time left, but the end of the day, guys, you're not smart enough. I'm not smart enough. We don't know what we're doing. That's what they want you to know. Remember when WikiLeaks and stuff came out and all they could say was, well, you know, you're not allowed to look at this, but we are because we're the experts. And so you better not because you'll be held to get, I mean, did anybody, nobody, that's ridiculous. They lied to you. They willfully tried to scare you away from looking at things that you have a right to see. That's what's happening right here. They're telling that you don't know it. They don't know any better. You know, all those studies that show these things are dangerous. Don't look at that. Don't trust that guy on the internet. Listen to this one person standing up saying, we know that masks work. Because that makes sense. Now, I'm going to be talking with Ben Swan in about 20 minutes. A lot of what I was going to go over today was other mask stuff as well. But maybe I'm definitely going to roll it over to tomorrow. So thank you for joining me here today. I know a lot of you do like the much shorter shows, but as you can see, I mean, obviously it was a little bit tight because I was trying to jump from topic, but you know, it's less. A shorter show for me ends up being less, there's more, less depth to it. And my point is to give you guys not just talking points, but actual understanding of these things as best as I can, because I'm no expert myself. We all got to do it together. Fight for the truth. Thank you for being here, guys. I love you all. Don't buy it. Do not buy the lies, because they're everywhere today. I mean, literally everywhere. You should be questioning whether I'm lying to you now, because that's the sad reality that we're in. And unless you do it for yourself, you'll never truly know. Or you could just blindly sit back and close your eyes and just trust the mainstream media. You know, that apathy sounds good sometimes, doesn't it? But I know you're better than that. I love you guys. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. there in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
The Jacobardi case was one of the great judicial moments in world history, and the public was totally unaware it was actually happening as the process was being engaged. General Electric and Professor Jacobardi went to the patent office with a little microbe that eats up oil spills. They said they had modified this microbe in the laboratory, and therefore it was an invention. The patent office, the U.S. government, took a look at this, quote, invention, and they said, no way. The patent statutes don't cover living things. This is not an invention. Turned down. Then General Electric and Dr. Jacobardi appealed to the U.S. Customs Court of Appeal. And to everyone's surprise, by a 3-2 decision, they overrode the patent office. We bring good things to life. And they said, this microbe looks more like a detergent or a reagent than a horse or a honeybee. I laughed because they didn't understand basic biology. It looked like a chemical to them. Had it had an antenna or eyes or wings or legs, it would never have crossed their table and been patented. Then the patent office appealed. And what the public should realize now is the patent office was very clear that you can't patent life. My organization provided the main amicus curiae brief. If you allow the patent on this microbe, we argued, it means that without any congressional guidance or public discussion, corporations will own the blueprints of life. When they made the decision, we lost by 5-4, and Chief Justice Warren Burger said, sure, some of these are big issues, but we think this is a small decision. 7 years later, the U.S. Patent Office issued a one-sentence decree. You can patent anything in the world that's alive except a full-birth human being.